Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 11, we continue, of course, our study of the Gospel of John, and John shows Jesus to be the Son of God, the Messiah, and all who believe in Him have eternal life. We're in John 11, and we see that seventh sign that John records. You remember the Gospel of John, that there were seven signs that Jesus did. In fact, if you remember John 20, 30 through 31, it said there are many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written, these seven are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you would have eternal life. Well, that's the key. We began last time we began seeing that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Well, that's the whole story. We hadn't got to that part, of course. But one of the things that we're going to see this morning is that Jesus is the resurrection of life. It's another I Am statement. Just as there's seven signs in the Gospel of John, there are also seven I Am statements, and you have those, that little card that you can pick up when you come in. And of course, the Gospels of John out there, the living waters, you can have all of that. Well, we're going to see Jesus declaring that He's the resurrection and the life. Now, as we look at this passage, I want you to think about several things, because there's a lot there. First of all, resurrection is in a person. Resurrection is in Jesus Christ. It's in a person. It's not an event, but it's in the person of Christ. He is the one who raises the dead. He is the one who gives eternal life. So resurrection is in a person. Second, we need to think about trusting God when things go wrong. Because in life, there are going to be things go wrong. He's in control. He's working all things according to the counsel of His will. Sometimes there are things that are bad. In this passage, Lazarus dies. We'd say, that's bad. You know, we think it'd be bad. Martha and Mary sure thought it was bad. We have to trust God in the trials and problems of life. And then the third thing is just realize that Jesus Christ identifies with us in life, in sorrow, in pain, in suffering, in temptations. He knows, because He's a great high priest who understands all these things. So this morning, as we continue, we're going to see Jesus coming to Bethany, a little town, we'll see it, and He comes to see Martha and Mary, and He comes really to raise Lazarus from the dead. Well, as we begin, think about this. You know, in our lives, probably if I said, who did you have as enemies in your life? And people say, well, there was this person in my neighborhood that wasn't my friend. Or when I went to high school, I had this guy or this girl that became my enemy. Or maybe at work today, there's somebody that you'd say, they're not my friend, they're enemies. We'd say, who are your enemies? Well, as a believer, we know this, that Satan is our enemy, the fallen angel who goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. But the Bible speaks about another enemy. In fact, the Bible calls it the last enemy. Have you ever thought about that last enemy found in 1 Corinthians 15:25? It says, Christ will reign by the Father until all His enemies are put under His feet, and the final enemy is death. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, Jesus Christ became flesh and blood so He might defeat the devil who had the power over death. As we look at our passage this morning, we see that we don't have to be afraid of death, because death is the last enemy and Jesus Christ has conquered that. In fact, as we see, next slide, John 11:25, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The resurrection conquers death, and the life, He gives eternal life. There's so much there. He is the one. As we said here, He is the one who gives life. He is the one who raises the dead. He is the one who has conquered death. Powerful truth this morning. Jesus as the resurrection and the life. And as we begin, let's think about where we are. We're less than 4 months before Jesus goes to the cross. So it's already past wintertime. It's already past what we would call Christmas, because they had Hanukkah at that time. Hanukkah was very close to about how we celebrate the birth of Christ on the 25th of December. Hanukkah, of course, is a different calendar for the Jewish people, but it's usually around this time. It's in the wintertime. And so they've already celebrated that. We saw that just a chapter ago. And Jesus is now in a place, it just says He went beyond the Jordan to a place He had been before. Now, He's living in a little town on the east side of the Jordan called Bethany. There are two Bethanies. We talked about this last week. There is a Bethany that is 2 miles from Jerusalem, little bitty town. Then if you go all the way across the Jordan River and go out in the wilderness, there's another Bethany there. Jesus is staying in that Bethany, but we're going to find out He's going to leave that Bethany and He's going to come to the other Bethany. And we're going to see that in this passage. Now, one of the things that we saw several weeks ago, when Jesus went to that place, notice the end of chapter 10. It says, many believed in Him there. That's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Because while Jesus is in this place, many people believed in him. And that the believe means to trust. They trusted in him. And remember, salvation is always in a person. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Now something happens. And this is where Jesus does the final sign. And if you remember, there are seven signs. Jesus changed the water to wine, healed the nobleman's son, healed the invalid, fed the 5,000, walked on the water, healed the man who'd been born blind, and now the last one, where he raises Lazarus from the dead. This is it. We're going to see it in chapter 11. And that'll be all the signs. Because chapter 12 through the rest of the book, through chapter 21, is all Jesus, basically about the last week of his life, takes up all of those chapters. Now, some people have said that Jesus saved the best of the signs for last because he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Let me give you a little background. There was a family that Jesus was very close to. And their names were Martha and Mary, two sisters, and Lazarus, their brother. They lived at the little town called Bethany, which was right outside Jerusalem. Let me just show you this. If you left Jerusalem and you were going toward the east, you would go out what's called the Eastern Gate. You'd go down the side of Mount Zion. You'd get to a little valley called the Kidron Valley. You'd go up a hill called the Mount of Olives. And you got to the top of that hill, and if you go just a little further, there's Bethany. And so this is where this family lives. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Jesus spent a lot of time with them, best we can tell. In fact, a lot of times when Jesus, who did his ministry in the northern part of Israel, he would come to Jerusalem. He probably didn't spend the night in Jerusalem. He probably went to Bethany to stay with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. We found out last time that Lazarus got sick. Look at chapter 11, verse 3. So the sisters sent word to him. Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Lazarus got really sick. In fact, it was so bad, they said, "We better do something." And so they sent a friend, we don't know who, they sent somebody to go tell Jesus that Lazarus was really sick. Now let me give you a timeline. The day that they sent this friend, it would take this friend about a day to get to Jesus. The best we can tell, the day they sent the friend, Lazarus died. So a day passed. He got to Jesus and said, "You better come. Lazarus is really sick." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll be there. Don't worry. It will not end in death." So the guy went, "Okay, I'll head back." And he headed back. Jesus didn't go. Jesus waited one day. Jesus waited 2 days. It's now been 3 days since Lazarus died. So then after those 2 days, Jesus waited 3 days. He left, and it took him about a day to get there. We're going to find when Jesus gets to Bethany, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Now, if you're Martha and Mary, you're saying, "Why didn't he come? Why didn't he come? We sent the friend. The friend got back. Why didn't Jesus come with the friend? Why did Jesus wait? Why isn't Jesus here?" But Jesus had said, "This will not end into death, but for the glory of God, for the glory of the Son of God." What did he mean by that? Well, we're going to see that by the time he got there, Lazarus had already been dead 4 days. Why wait? Jesus had told the men, after the guy left, they felt like Lazarus was going to be okay because Jesus said Lazarus is just asleep. And they said, "Well, you know, if he's asleep, he's fine." And Jesus said, no, he's dead. You thought I was talking about little sleep. I'm not talking about little sleep. I'm talking about death. He said, "And we're going to have to go wake him up." He said, "I'm glad that I wasn't there when he died." So you can see this. So they leave. Notice verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. You just think, if Jesus would have hurried, he could have been there at least 2 days earlier. Why did he wait? Let me tell you something. Are you ready? At that time that Jesus lived, there was a teaching by the rabbis, it's called a rabbinic teaching, that when a person died, their soul hovered over their body for 3 days. And after 3 days, if it didn't go back into the body, they might wake up and be okay. But they were told that the soul, after 3 days, would leave and not come back. It could be that Jesus waited to the fourth day, so that when he got there and he raises Lazarus from the dead, that some people wouldn't say, if it had been 2 to 3 days, they'd have said, "Oh, that wasn't a miracle." Sometimes people come back after 3 days. It could be that he waited for 4 days just for that. Now, normally, a period of sadness and lamenting and weeping and mourning was about 7 days. There was 3 days in which they were thinking maybe he might come back. And then they had four other days in which they just mourned. They're now into the fourth day. Jesus gets there. Notice, so when Jesus came, he found that he'd already been in the tomb 4 days. Why did he wait 4 days? Well, we said this. It could be that he waited 4 days because he said, this is for the glory of God. I want them to see the death. And then because of the tradition that the Spirit hovered for 3 days. Notice verse 18. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem about 2 miles off. So he gets close. And notice, many of the Jews who had come to Martha and Mary to console them, many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Now, they came to cry with him. I want you to understand that at the time of Jesus, there were professional mourners. If somebody died and you wanted it to look like it was a big deal, you hired people to come and they were paid to mourn. And they would be outside of a house and they would be weeping and crying and making noise. And everyone would know that someone had died. Do you remember when Jesus raised the little girl, Jairus' daughter, from the dead? She was 12 years old. Remember when they got to the house, all these people were out front mourning. They were the professional mourners. And Jesus said, she's not dead, she's just asleep. And they went, oh yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, everybody out of the way, please. And he went in and raised her from the dead. So there's a lot of people there. They've come to be with Martha and Mary to console them. Now, the best we know that Lazarus has been buried. They didn't bury him like in the ground. Most of the time there was a cave or something that they would put the body in. And then here's what they would do. Just like you see when we talked about burying Jesus, they would take a body after they died. They would take these strips of cloth and they would wrap all around the body like a mummy. And then they would get to the head and they would take some stuff and they would wrap it this way so the jaw wouldn't fall down. And they laid them out and they put this sweet stuff called myrrh and frankincense, and they would put that all over the body, and then they would put the body in a cave. And they would wait for the body to decay. It'd take a while. And they would come occasionally and anoint the body so it wouldn't smell so bad. And finally, when it was nothing left but bones, they would take the bones and they would put them in a box called ossuaries. Ossuaries were bone boxes in which maybe a whole family's bones would be in there. So they would take his body, put it in the bone boxes, and put it back in the cave. So Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He's in a cave. His body's all wrapped up. Martha, therefore, verse 20. Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Now, what's the difference? I want you to think about this. See, Martha was the worker. She was the one on the go. Mary was the one, the relator. She was always at the feet of Jesus. Do you remember the story about when Jesus came to their house to eat and Martha was scurrying around trying to get everything ready and Mary was just sitting down at Jesus' feet and Martha came over to Jesus and said, "Don't tell my sister to help me. She doesn't care what I'm doing." Martha was always the worker. When she found out that Jesus was coming, she just got up and left. Mary said, "I think I'm just going to sit here." Okay? So Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Now watch what she says. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." If you'd been here, the way it's written in the Greek, if it's a second class, if it's not true, you weren't here. If you'd have been here, but you weren't, my brother would not have died. I don't think she's making an accusation. I don't think she's accusing him of anything. She's just stating a fact. If you'd have been here, I don't think he would have died. In fact, if you'd have been here before he died, you would have stopped it. See, that's what Jesus did. He could stop it. Now, here's the truth. We have to trust him even when things go wrong. You have to trust him even if it didn't turn out right. Even if Lazarus got sick and he died. And she says, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. You're going to have to trust him anyway. Keep trusting. He's working. When things go wrong, we think, well, if it's going wrong, this can't be right. Right? If it goes wrong, how can it be right? God's in control. He works all things together for good. Those that love God, those that are called according to his purpose. He didn't say all things were good. He said he works all things together for good. Now, she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But look at her next question. "Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." What is she saying? She's saying, listen, if you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died. But, you know, I know now you can ask God and God will give you anything. Is it maybe that she's hinting, would you do something? Would you maybe bring him back? Would you do something? Because she's saying, I know that God will do anything for you, whatever you say. Look at his answer. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And literally in the original language, it doesn't say rise again. It says your brother will rise. That he plainly says it. Your brother will rise. Then notice her answer, because she doesn't grasp what he says. She said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She's thinking resurrection on the last day. She's saying, yeah, there's going to come a time when the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus, you're going to raise everybody from the dead. I know that. I know that's when he'll rise. See, they understood that. Because see, Job wrote, long time before this, Job wrote in the Old Testament and said that when I die and my body is eaten by maggots, one day, in my flesh, I will stand and see my Savior. He knew he was going to be raised from the dead. Daniel said that all will be raised from the dead. So she understood that there would be a day of resurrection. Now, we talked this last week. A lot of you didn't get to be here, but let me just show you this, that there are two resurrections. There's a resurrection of believers and a resurrection of unbelievers. Resurrection of believers, with first, the first to rise from the grave, never to die again, is Jesus Christ. Following that will be the church. That's us, the body of Christ. Following that will be the Old Testament and Tribulation saints. They come at different times. After that, that's called the first resurrection. That's resurrection of life. After that resurrection, there will be a kingdom time on the earth for 1,000 years. Following that will be another resurrection called the resurrection of the unbelievers. It's at a place called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's found in Revelation chapter 20 if you want to look that up. It's called the Second Death. The first resurrection deals with life. The second resurrection deals with death. The first resurrection, they're raised forever to live forever with Jesus Christ. The second resurrection, they're raised forever to die forever separated from Jesus Christ. So she says, yeah, I know he's going to rise again. I mean, we know that. There's a resurrection coming. But notice what he says. She says, I know he'll rise again on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And we have to see this in more detail. But he says to her, I'm the resurrection and life. This is another of the I am statements. I am the resurrection and the life. There's two aspects. I want you to see this. He's the resurrection. He raises the dead. He has conquered death. Bodies will come back. He is the life. He is the life giver. He's not saying the same thing twice. I'm the resurrection and life. He says, I'm the resurrection. I raise bodies. I'm the life. I give eternal life. See, not everybody who's raised has eternal life. Everyone will be raised. Some will be raised to live forever with Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. Some will be raised to die forever separated from Christ. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. First of all, let's think about the resurrection. He's the resurrection. In John 5:21, he talks about raising the dead. In John 6:44, he says, I will raise them up on the last day. 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about death has been conquered. O grave, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? It's not. Every human being that has ever existed and ever will exist will be raised from the dead. Some in the first resurrection, believers. Some in the second resurrection, unbelievers. He is the resurrection because he's conquered death. The second thing, though, he's the life. He is life. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the life giver. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. He also, as we've seen in John 10, gives abundant life. He is the resurrection and the life. Notice what he says. I'm the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Now, that's the bodily resurrection. He says, I'm the resurrection life. He who believes shall live even if they die. Because every one of us, listen, we know Jesus Christ is Savior. If he doesn't come back soon, some of us are going to die physically. But even if we die, he's going to raise us up. That's what he says. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if they die. And then there's more, because he says he who believes and lives will never die. If you believe in him, you'll never die spiritually. The first one deals with physical death and resurrection. The second one deals with spiritual. Great truth. We'll never experience the second. Go, yeah. If you die physically, you're going to be raised physically. If you believe, you will never die spiritually, which means to be separated from God. Never. He says, I'm the one who raises the dead. I'm the one who gives eternal life. He says, I'm the resurrection and life. If you believe in me, you will live even if you die, resurrection. And everyone who believes, who lives and believes in me will never die, spiritual life. He gives eternal life. So powerful. He's the life. D.L. Moody, who had Moody Bible, started Moody Bible Institute, was a great pastor, great teacher. He was a young man. It says that somebody called him and said, you need to preach a funeral. He was very young. He'd never done a funeral before. So he thought, okay, I'll look through the four gospels. I'll try to find one of Christ's funeral sermons. But he searched in vain. What he found out is that Christ broke up every funeral he went to. Didn't have a funeral sermon. He got there and they raised him from the dead. So here's a great truth for all of us who have trusted in Christ. If believers die, we will live again physically. If we die physically, we're going to live again physically. But believers will never die spiritually. Because he's the resurrection and he's the life. Now look what he says to her. I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Then he looks at her and says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the one who gives life and the one who raises the dead? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the one who gives eternal life and raises the dead? That's the question to her. And look what she said. She said, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Look what she says, three things. You're the Christ, you're the Son of God, you're the one who comes in the world. You remember at the very end of the Gospel of John, it said there are many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you'd have eternal life. That's exactly what the purpose of this book is. So that people would see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing in him, they have eternal life. He said, do you believe this? She said, I have believed, past tense. I have believed that you are the Christ. The Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One of God. Then he says, the Son of God, the eternal God who's lived forever. And then the last thing is the one who has come into the world. And at a perfect time in history, God sent his Son. That's Christmas. That's what we're about to celebrate. We're about to remember and celebrate the birth of the Savior, the one who's come into the world. What do you think about Jesus? She believed he was the Christ, the Son of God, the one who came into the world. Some people say, well, I think he's a good teacher. I think he's a great man. No, he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who's come into the world to give eternal life. Peggy Key said this. She said, while driving to church on Easter Sunday 2 years ago, I told my children the Easter story. I said, this is the day we celebrate Jesus coming back to life. Right away, my three-year-old son, Kevin, said, will he be in church today? Right? He is, isn't he? He is, isn't he? He's in you. He's alive. She said, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the Savior. I believe you conquered death and give life. And we'll go quickly through this last part. Look what happened. When she said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here calling for you. She went into the room. All these people are there. And she goes over and goes, Jesus wants to see you. So she gets up and leaves. Watch. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house and they were consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing she's going to the tomb to weep there. So when she left, everybody says, let's leave. Let's all go because obviously she's going after the tomb to cry. And we'll go out there, and since some of us are paid to cry, we're going to get there and cry. And the rest of us will all cry. And we're just going to be there because it's a sad time. Notice the next verse. Therefore, when Mary saw... when Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him and she fell at his feet. And look what she said. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Says exactly the same thing. If you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. You know, you notice the difference? It doesn't say that Martha fell at his feet, but it says Mary fell at his feet. And when they're at the house that day, it was Martha scurrying around getting the word, but it was Mary where? At the feet of Jesus. And she sees him, she falls down, and she says, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. She's mistaken. Jesus' plan here was not to heal him, to get him well. It was to raise him from the dead. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. He saw all these people crying, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And then what did Jesus do? Jesus wept. Now, there's three things in this little section. He was deeply moved. That shows emotion. He was troubled. That word means stirred up. The word sometimes is used for anger. And then he cried. He wept. It was mean quiet sorrow. Now, let me ask you something. Why is Jesus crying? I mean, Jesus knows what he's fixing to do. He's going to raise him from the dead. Jesus could say, hey, let's cut this crying out. Why is anybody crying? Jesus cried. Why is he so angry? Because that's what it says. The word has anger in it. Because he's identified with us. Because he sees the sorrow that sin and death brings. And he sees this family who he loves. And they're crying. And Jesus wept. He knows he's going to raise him from the dead, but he identifies with us. See, Hebrews says that we've got a great high priest who identifies with us. He knows exactly what you feel. He knows when you hurt. He knows everything that's going on in your life. And when you're hurting, you can say, "Jesus, you know what's happening. Help me. Stop it. Fix it." Can you think of the times Jesus wept? He wept with Lazarus. He wept over Jerusalem. Notice the next verse. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." Wow, even Jesus is crying. He must really have loved him. The truth is this, God loves us in an unconditional, everlasting way. Galatians 2:20, he loves us. Romans 5:8, demonstrates his love for us. Revelation chapter 1, he loves us and paid for our sins. Now watch the next statement. But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" Couldn't this man who healed this guy who is blind, couldn't he have taken care of Lazarus and stopped him from dying? They don't understand. They think death's the end. It doesn't matter to Jesus whether he's alive or dead. He's going to raise him from the dead. That's why Jesus said, "I'm glad I wasn't there so that you might believe." It's a very powerful truth. What have we seen? Jesus comes. Martha comes out. She says, "If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." He said, "He's going to rise again." She said, "I know in the last days." He said, no, it's not in the last days. I'm the resurrection and the life. Resurrection is in a person, not an event. And then Mary comes out and says, "If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." And everybody's crying, and he cries. And he says, "Where did y'all put him?" And they take him to that cave. And that's where we're going to have to stop. And don't worry, you won't miss it, because next week is Christmas. Christmas message, and then Christmas. And then and all of you who are coming back after the holidays, I promise we will not start back until you're back, okay? We'll do something else till you get back. You cannot miss the next section. It is one of the most important passages in all of Scripture. So we're not going to miss it. Don't worry, you will not miss it. What can we learn? Trust God in the hard times. You got to. There's no other way. Even when things don't seem right, you say, "It just doesn't look right. It doesn't seem right. It isn't right." You just have to trust him and never leave us or forsake us. What should we fear? Second, he knows this. He knows our hurts and our sorrows, and he knows everything about us. And you can just tell him. He identifies with us. He says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace so you can find help in the time of need," because you have this great high priest who identifies with you. He knows it all. And then third, understand that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's the one who conquered death and give eternal life. Think about this. He's the resurrection. If we die physically, because see, he could come back any second, and this whole generation of believers, we wouldn't die. Wouldn't it be great? You say, "I don't want to die physically." How many of you want to die physically? I don't. I'd like to just keep living, and he comes back and changes us, and I go, "Hey, we were the generation that didn't die." Wouldn't that be great? But guess what he says? "If you die, I'm going to raise you up, so don't worry about it." Okay? But there's a second thing. He's the life. By faith in him, we have eternal life. We'll never die spiritually. We'll never be separated from him. Because even if you die physically, to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. You're never going to be separated from him. May we trust Jesus Christ, even in the bad times, knowing he's the one who gives eternal life by faith and is the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for the truths that are here. Lord, we have to trust you in the hard times. We know that in our lives there are ups and downs and things that don't look right, things that aren't right. We just have to trust you because you're working your plan and it'll work out perfectly. And so we just have to trust you. Lord, thank you that you know us. You know our insides. You know our thoughts, our feelings. You know our hurts, our sorrows. You know our temptations, our trials, our falls. You know everything about us. Thank you that you love us and you identify with us. Thank you that Jesus is indeed the resurrection and the life, that he's conquered death, and that all people will be raised from the dead to exist forever. And thank you, Lord, that he is the life, the way of eternal life, simply by faith. Thank you, Lord, for those great truths. And we just ask you, Lord, that at this time of the year, we tell people what the real meaning of Christmas is, that the baby born in Bethlehem is the resurrection and the life, the one who died and rose again and gives eternal life to all who believe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.